And we're back here on MyStartup.live. I'm your host, Kevin Allen. And today's show is a special one. Always, we have a guest who's come up from San Diego. We're going to be talking about co-living with Dave Lowe, who's the founder of Quirky. Dave, thanks for joining us here on MyStartup.
Thanks for having me today.
Yeah, it's an interesting concept. I mean, certainly something that's the investors are talking a lot about now, and you and I talked about that.
Yeah.
Define to me what co-living means and what Quirky's, how Quirky's going to play into that.
So it's an intentional way of getting people together in the same space. Typically, people who live in co-living communities are like they have a smaller bedroom, but there'll be larger communal areas where they share that experience. So like the kitchen, the living room. In San Diego's case, it could be the hammocks out the back.
That's right. Yeah, because it's great weather year round.
Oh yeah.
It's like every space outdoors in San Diego is a whole nother room.
That's it. If you're a weatherman, your job is redundant.
So you brought to San Diego an actual pilot house in
Correct.
Which you have your customers living in the house. So describe how that works.
Yeah, we had six entrepreneurs from San Diego, and we had another two come across the border from Tijuana in Mexico. So it was really kind of a cosmopolitan house. We tested our pilot concept for a weekend, and just amazing things happened. We had people come in and get things, I guess, clarified with the businesses. There were a few collaborations, and then we set kind of challenges to the entrepreneurs. And in one case, there were two founders with their own businesses, and they kind of came together to form a super brand.
Which is exactly what the intention is.
Exactly. I mean,
the intention is to get like-minded people together in the same house.
Exactly.
And allowing them to creatively, you know, work together
That's
in whichever
it.
Fashion they feel is appropriate.
That's it. The issue, I guess, or one of the many issues we're trying to solve with Quirky is the loneliness epidemic that's sweeping throughout the U.S. at the moment. So the classic story is that you move to the big city, you're on your own, you don't have a network, you don't know any other entrepreneurs, and the idea is that you would move into Quirky and immediately be surrounded by people like you.
Yeah. So right away you feel more comfortable, you feel at home, you may actually meet new friends and meet their friends. So what is the business model? How is this going to turn into a business for Quirky?
Well, the obvious thing or the obvious primary way of generating revenue is memberships. So people can come for example, like 3 months or 6 months or a year. But we've got a few other ways that we're looking at the moment, specifically technology. As further ways to generate revenue.
Okay.
We just got back actually from the world's first co-living conference in San Francisco.
Oh, wow.
Called CoLive. And there were a lot of co-living operators there. And when they heard what we were working on with our technology, and we showed them a prototype of our smart mirror, they were very, very into what we were doing.
You're going to have to elaborate there, but
I wish I had it here.
So CoLive was actually fairly new conference, I imagine.
That's right.
And you were there present with a display or something marketing related to engage with other investors and other like-minded and entrepreneurs.
That's right. So our kind of the thing that we're talking about at the moment is creating smart communities. So I'm sure you're familiar with the expression smart homes and smart tech within the home. We're trying to kind of magnify that to create smart communities so that you can have mobile technology that allows you kind of in and out of the complex and in and out of your room. And so it's,
security and privacy as well as identity is you can kind of track that.
Exactly.
And know where people are. Yeah. As well.
And from a social standpoint, people can kind of see if you're in or out, so they can kind of suggest, you know, like for example, let's go to the beach,
activity,
let's go to the beach
and
surf. They know that you're there, or maybe just in your room working. But it could be a social coming up as well. But also just from a kind of going back to the safety and regulatory standpoint, if there was a fire, we could actually we would know who was on site
and be able to notify them because you have contact information
exactly
for the members of your house.
Yeah,
so kind of like a fraternity, but in a more professional environment,
much more professional. Yeah,
which you're targeting towards entrepreneurs and freelance minded individuals.
Yes.
Okay.
Digital nomads is maybe an expression you're familiar with. These are the people that you see, they're location independent, and they'll be traveling essentially with a laptop, and they might be working on a beach, or they might be coding in a co-working space, and they can work from anywhere.
Or again, using film equipment.
Exactly. But these people are very isolated, and they also need they need the sense of community.
So, and that is actually interesting because many of our audience are media professionals, production media. They're going around making independent films and corporate video and even feature films. Mm. Oftentimes working on location for 3 months, up to 6 months, maybe even longer than that if it's a long film. And they're really needing like-minded individuals because they have a similar schedule. They're all on location. They're not from there.
I mean, we've had a few companies contact us, like from New York and even London, where they say they want to be doing a shoot, but how can their people be accommodated? Because if it's a hotel, it's going to cost them a fortune.
Of course.
If it's, they try and do a tenancy agreement, it'll be a year minimum with all the checks and
usually.
So on, the deposits and everything else. So we've definitely seen that the kind of filmmakers and media, like TV people,
but this
could
is
certainly be saying it quirky.
This is different than an Airbnb in the sense that you're actually creating a community amongst those folks. So it's not just about the rental or having the occupancy of the space, mm-hmm. but it's the community that you're creating and technology that you're building within that space.
We really care about the San Diego community and any community that we go into. So I think the controversy, I know the controversy right now in a lot of cities, especially San Diego, is that people are coming in and staying at Airbnb for a night, they're partying really hard until the early hours, waking up all the neighbors, trashing the place and leaving. Mm-hmm. And so it's not giving an increased sense of community. It's actually kind of reducing that and causing friction in those communities. So again, we are we're targeting people who are professional and really want to change the world and use Quirky as a kind of springboard for success.
Awesome. So let's talk about the pilot house.
Yeah.
You have a pilot house that was in San Diego. Yeah. How many members were in this pilot house?
Eight,
okay.
Yeah.
And what was the length of this pilot?
It was just a weekend.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you took sort of like feedback throughout the weekend so
yes.
you can obviously perfect the next step, which is a longer extended pilot.
Mm-hmm. It was right before startup week in June. And so we kind of positioned it as a startup boot camp to get people just, really excited about going into startup week. So it's very intense, and it gave us enough opportunity to get feedback, to analyze how we could improve things and what we needed to do when we launched. The extended pilot, which is going to be our first house, will be launching very soon early 2018, hopefully, which
It's going to be bigger.
It's going to be a little bigger, yeah.
Okay. How many are you targeting?
Going just a little bit bigger, so probably 10 to 12.
Okay.
And then after we've proven that concept, we're looking probably about 30 for the main launch.
And you're
in San Diego.
Obviously in this, you're building out what the monetary sort of value is among, whether it be individual metric based or just the whole house itself. So you'll be able to sort of say how much each individual would generate for the company as well as the whole house.
Yeah, I mean, the two things we're looking at first, the priorities, building a true, intentional community and getting people excited about co-living.
Yeah.
The you second
gotta
thing
prove
is...
the concept.
That's it, yeah. The second thing is to show that our technology works within our own community, and then obviously we can kind of white label that and scale that into to other co-living communities to benefit the whole industry. And that's what, like I said, that's what was getting a lot of people excited in San Francisco, because suddenly it's like, oh, we're starved of tech in co-living communities, and this is the thing that's going to enhance co-living and bring people closer together. And then obviously third is how do we make this work as a business to keep going.
Now, you mentioned when you were in San Francisco you previewed a smart mirror.
Yeah.
What does that entail?
So my CTO and co-founder, Max, he has used Raspberry Pi to create essentially a prototype smart mirror. And what it means is that the idea is that you can look into it and use it as a regular mirror, but around the edges, like around the frame, you'll have data. So things like weather, time, different time zones, the time in different time zones. It could be motivational messages for when you wake up. And then the goal is to use AI and facial recognition technology to be able to interact with the mirror.
So if I was to interpret that, really what Quirky is bringing is efficient, productive living.
Yeah.
It's a combination of efficiency and productivity, because the efficiency is that obviously you're spending less, you're not having to facilitate an entire house on your own and all the landscaping and chores as well. You're sharing all those duties. But then also you're encouraging productivity and interactivity.
Yeah. And also sustainability is another kind of focus as well.
The
tech is cool and the gadgets and so on. Everyone's going to be, excited about that and using them. But sustainability, so how do we live in a more efficient way and be less wasteful?
Right.
So just simple things like we'll be developing technology that alerts you to what is in your fridge and when it's going to
be bad.
Yeah, essentially going to
expire. Okay.
So that you know to use it and it doesn't, make the fridge stinky. Because that's just a little thing in living that we've seen, that when you share, there's a lot of friction caused by behavioral.
So you've taken, honestly, Dave, you've gone one step beyond co-living and you've dived right into sustainable co-living, mm-hmm. which is an even better, presentation to investors.
Yeah. And you think of things like smart lighting, that kind of thing. So when you're in a room, light comes on when you leave the room, or there's no activity, no motion, the light can go off. And so we're also looking at just going even further to, because we've seen this issue with Airbnb where there are noise complaints that come through and then the police are knocking at the door saying turn it down. Even before it gets to that, we'll have kind of microphones that will be picking up the decibel level. So if it goes over a certain level, we'll know to that there might be an issue and maybe to contact.
Sometimes
so that
people just don't know police. They're getting there, to that auditory level, and you get excited, you're having a party, and you just the noise just is too much.
We don't expect it. We don't expect too many issues on that front. But we, just in case, we've kind of got this smart technology that will alert us.
Well, I'm curious. I want to pause for a moment and go back about Dave Lowe and where he, obviously you're British. You came here some time ago. And tell me your background. Where'd you go to school?
I went to school in the northwest of England.
Okay.
I was not great at school, actually. And I didn't like the academic system in England. And I knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur. So I was I felt like I was wrestling with the system. After school, I did a sound recording diploma in Manchester.
Okay.
And then I went down to university in London to do film history because I thought I wanted to be a director. So I kind of got into film just for a short period of time.
I love it.
Then got into the corporate world and just tried lots of different things, thinking that if I knew a little about a lot, I could be an entrepreneur. And so then tried to get my own business going in 2008, which was actually a group self-publishing concept, which didn't actually launch, but we got quite close.
Okay.
And I was, had a few co-founders around it.
Self-publishing of?
So the idea was that you could kind of take all of your social media images and upload them to a digital photo book.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could invite all of your friends and then publish as a group. So
oh,
it's
nice.
Kind of like going to be a cool,
okay.
Like
so you can share your content, publish something as a community, as a group, which is
exactly
sort of what you're also doing with Quirky, which is potentially working together to create something of a partnership, a collaboration.
That's it. My I would say my goal from about 2008, and maybe even before then, my goal was to always build businesses and brands that human beings together.
Why did it not launch? What was the what was the factor that kept you from launching?
The big issue was that I didn't have a CTO, and with it being a tech business, that was kind of the big barrier. So then, of course,
you had an idea, and it got along, but you couldn't build it
That's right.
in the way that you needed to.
I was looking at co-founders that were not initially anyway, we're not technology, tech savvy.
So Max is obviously a much more appropriate co-founder in that sense.
Yeah, which is kind of funny because you think co-living, it's like, tech free. But we've seen how technology can really, like I said, can really bring people closer together.
Well, the importance in people's lives, and not only that, but for our safety and security and productivity again. So let's take a look at what Quirky looks like. I think we have a little 1 minute reel from the pilot house in San Diego. Yeah, thanks for that, Dave. And that definitely gives us an idea what it was like to live in this house for just a weekend, rather. But what's coming up to next quarter? So what's the next steps along the way, and why was San Diego the chosen city for Quirky?
Well, I moved initially from London in England to Austin, Texas, to launch my first startup, which was Uber Pong, a ping pong business. But when I was there, in the back of my mind, I always wanted to launch Quirky, but I wanted to do a business to kind of get, build my personal brand and just get great experience. So I described that first startup as my MBA.
Uber Pong,
yeah.
What was Uber Pong?
We created custom ping pong paddles for celebrities, big brand, all the biggest brands in the world.
Okay. Even with licensing.
We didn't go the licensing route because the agents or the companies would come to us, so they owned.
So you kind of found a niche.
Yeah, absolutely. I was seeing how ping pong was just exploding in cities like New York and London and San Francisco. But there was something missing, and that was the way to customize paddles. And it was kind of a novelty gift, but it was.
Yeah. Did you make some money?
Did pretty good, yeah.
Okay.
I exited this year after just shy of 5 years, yeah. So it was a success.
So was that some of those funds were used for the initial startup of Quirky as well?
Yes, correct. Okay. Yeah, that was always the goal, to be kind of self-sustainable going into this, and then we could kind of pool our resources, myself and Max, and be able to get to the point where we'd done enough ourselves to take to investors.
So you didn't need investor money from day one. No. You were able to build out this concept and prove that it had value for your investor group. And what are you asking for? What's the ask going forward? I mean, do you need a big influx of cash to sort of prove it, or launch it, or are you kind of going to do that on your own as well?
Well, the first thought was that we were going to go from the pilot to acquiring just a big building, and then actually renovating and developing the flow of that community and launching. But we've actually seen a kind of slightly smaller opportunity and a way to get off the ground where we can actually be making revenue from day one, and then proving the concept, so that when we get to that point where we need investor capital,
it's just about growth.
Exactly.
And expanding out of the cities.
Yeah. And we're confident that because we've put in that kind of early spade work, and the sweat equity, if you like, we'll be able to retain more of the company, more control.
When you built Uber Pong, though, you said you were building your personal brand. What does that mean? And talk about why that's so important for what was going to be Quirky.
It's absolutely crucial because having spoken to founder friends who are on third businesses, they said, a lot of investors won't touch you if it's your first business. If it's your second business, it's like they know it's not your first rodeo. They're gonna look a little bit more.
At least you're not gonna make the amateur mistakes.
Right. And if you've come out of it as successfully and profitable, then they're definitely,
it's a whole nother conversation.
They know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And especially if you've got a co-founder as well to share the load,
What business sort of lessons did you learn in your corporate experience that you're now either applying or avoiding in your entrepreneur career?
I think I learned what not to do, primarily. What I was noticing is that people were coming into work and it was, heads were down, it was Monday morning, it was like, the case of the Mondays. And then it was hump day, and then it was celebrate on Friday. And I said to myself then, I wanted to build companies where people were coming in on Monday and they were excited to be there. When it hit Friday, they didn't want to go home. That was always the goal. And so personally, that's how I feel, but obviously I want to create a company that's that gets people that excited to be there.
How do you deal with managing, though, a work-life balance, even encouraging that work-life balance inside the Quirky living space, if you are you know, what you would encourage within the quirky living space?
It's a good question. I think that's one of the reasons, one of the big reasons I chose San Diego, because, you know, the weather's great. And so if you're working really, really hard inside for hours and you just get zoned in, you go hit the grind and you're there. There's not that feeling of I'm missing out on great weather, because anytime you go out, right, it's going to be good.
Yeah. So and you have something to look forward to, and that it will
that's
be it will be worth your effort, let's say.
And we're actually, myself and Max, we're really kind of focused on wellness and health and, you know, good like nutrition, good diet, which and all these things we want to kind of implement within the quirky communities as well. So if we've got to be interested in ourselves. And so, you know, you've done maybe 8 hours, 9 hours, and you come outside and the sun's still out, you're getting your vitamin D, maybe you go for a surf, run on the beach. Like it's a great life. We've got a great lifestyle there. You know, it doesn't have to be go to Silicon Valley, you know, and just the weather's not great there, and just the grind all day. You come outside, it's dark, it's cold, and then you're paying ridiculous amounts of money on rent to live there.
New York included. New York, it's 35 degrees right now, but
we got it really good in San Diego. And another huge thing that people miss in the valley and in LA is the fact that Tijuana's there. So, you know, a few years ago it was an issue, but now it's like it's a kind of blossoming entrepreneurial community. And so we're seeing kind of potential.
And they're utilizing the resources that San Diego brings, or that you can acquire in San Diego and bring back to Tijuana.
Exactly. And all the talk right now is building binational brands. So we see ourselves within maybe a year being a binational brand and having
specifically right there in Mexico.
Yeah, having a location in Tijuana.
Oh, wow.
It's only 14 miles from where we are. I mean, it's super, super close.
But
you got a train to the border, you can walk across in like 5 minutes, and then you're there. And there's great restaurants, really good bars. I mean, it's just, the entrepreneurial scene's really up and coming.
But why not Austin then? Because there's still vicinity in Mexico is not bad, and you are already there. So why bring it to San Diego?
It's a little landlocked. So I'd say about 3 or 4 hours from the border.
Yep.
And we wanted to be on the coast.
Right on the
coast. The ocean's just got that attraction.
Where are you going to take Quirky in 2018? You mentioned an extended pilot. How is that going to work, and what's next?
So the extended pilot, we're hoping to be in the Pacific Beach area of San Diego, very, very close to the ocean. That will house, we think, 10 people. And then once, I would say probably within 6 months, we'd be looking to do the next location.
And I know we spoke about even Atlanta being, you know, a new hub for filmmaking. And, you know, you were a former filmmaker. You know what they're doing down there in Atlanta. Could be a great next step is to even go into that film community and find meccas where production's taking place.
It's cool when people kind of, you know, will email and say, this is like, you know, it's a production company or we're doing filming. In your region, can we come stay there? You know, and the beautiful thing is that we see it kind of like it's like cross pollination. So, if you come to Quirky, you might be a filmmaker, you might be a digital nomad traveling the world. So you're into travel. You're an entrepreneur with a startup. Maybe you're a travel nurse, professional. You know, it's this kind of melting pot.
Will you have events that encourage that business development, you know, things that when you bring in special guests into the home every now and like a Thursday night or whatnot?
We've got an idea of how we can do that. Quirky Talks.
Kind of like a TED Talks?
Yeah. Kind
all
of
right,
like
all right.
TED Talks crank to 11. Very, very... Essentially, kind of new spins on old themes. That's kind of probably the best way of putting it.
And
it's like exciting talks.
With all the sort of creatives that would be in this space, the immense amount of content and storytelling that's going to come out of this. I mean, you're going to be telling stories of people's lives.
Yep.
With their permission, of course.
Exactly. And we want to document it as well. So not quite like the, what's it called, the diary room in Big Brother on reality TV. But for people who want to use Quirky as a platform for their venture, we want to do everything we can to make them succeed.
So maybe like a little interview room, and they can just voluntarily offer their progress.
Exactly. And with the tech we're developing, it would be easy to do that. Literally just hit a button and just give your account of the day and then go.
It's a smart home. It's a community.
Smart community,
Smart community. Yeah. It's a smart home, technologically speaking. Mm-hmm. And it's for a new breed of individuals who are working from wherever they please.
Exactly.
In that reality.
Yeah. And we're kind of, initially, we'll be targeting kind of almost digital natives and millennials. But we've, again, this from the conference, we've seen that there's an opportunity with families as well. And so,
I'm a new dad.
Exactly.
If I could,
Max is a dad.
Can imagine you had date nights already taken care of because you know Mark and Luis are going to take care of your baby.
That's it. And we don't just want to resign to the fact that we've got to go out to the white picket fence in the suburbs and just disappear.
Right.
So how could we potentially create a quirky co-living community for families where they're all kind of entrepreneurial with their kids? So that's maybe the next thing.
That's great. There's a lot of things I can see coming, and I like the way that you've built the company not just about one aspect. It's not just about living in a home together. It's about creating opportunity for yourself.
Yes.
Well, using community.
For yourself, but there's also the potential to collaborate as well.
Yeah.
So you might meet your co-founder at Quirky, and then you start a business
that
changes the world.
The next Uber boss says that they met their co-founder at Quirky Co-Living. So, how will folks find you on online social media? What are some of your profiles?
So our website is quirky.co, and that's Q-W-E-R-K-Y. Social media handle is at Quirky Co-Living, and if you want to use hashtag Stay Quirky.
I was going to ask about the name and why Stay Quirky. What does that mean to you?
Well, we kind of like things with like multiple meanings. So stay quirky, remain quirky, remain who you are, remain yourself, like your true self, and then of course stay at Quirky.
There you go.
Come join us.
Quirky, a great business model. Dave Lowe, he's ready to change the world in 2018 and create opportunity, create sustainable living, create communities that are really going to change the world. Dave, I want to thank you for joining us here on My Startup.
Thank you so much for having me here.
Yeah, and check out the quirky.co and stay quirky. Thank you so much. We're on My Startup. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, guys.